Praise God. Let's go into the word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your spirit that is so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive that there is clarity this evening. As the truth of God's word is taught, there is no confusion, there is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth. And we declare and decree this evening that at the end of today's meeting as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Look at Matthew's Gospel 28. Or go with me to Mark 16 quickly. Mark 16:15. Mark 16:15. Are you there? Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He says, he that believeth and is baptized is saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. He says, in my name they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it shall not hurt them. He now says, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So we're trying to do a teaching on the ministry of laying on of hands. And we're trying to investigate through scriptures, do things really happen when hands are laid? So we've come to understand certain fundamentals about the Christian faith, and we said that God's method on the earth is man. Man is God's method, right? I said, as a believer of the Holy Ghost, there's no believer that is ordinary, right? So a believer might look ordinary, but there's no believer that is ordinary. So a believer's touch can be God's touch. Hallelujah. God can touch another human through a believer's touch. So your hands are not ordinary. Say, my hands are not ordinary. My hands are transmitters. Is a transmitter. Say, my hand is a transmitter of God's power. Say, my hands are transmitters of God's power. So we said that God's power can be transmitted through the laying on of hands. And we started looking at some examples in scriptures talking about how Jesus laid hands on the sick people, on the sick, and they recovered. Luke 4 verse 40. We looked at Jesus as well in Mark 6 when he went to his hometown. They did not recognize him. And in the atmosphere of unbelief, he still laid hands and they recovered, and the sick folks were healed. Now we also saw that Romans 1:10-12, Paul was talking about how he looks forward to what meeting them physically so that he can communicate certain impartations to them, right, to the end that they may be established. So we said the laying on of hands can be used for impartation, right? Can be used for healing the sick. Are we together? So laying of hands can be used for healing the sick, for impartation. I was there looking at something very interesting on Sunday. Right, we said that primarily Jesus ministered healing to the sick by the laying on of hands. So we see by example when he says we shall lay hands on the sick in Mark 16 verse 18 and they shall recover, it means that Jesus is making us to understand that the same way he laid hands on people and they recovered is the same way we have the ability to lay hands on people and they will what? Recover. Are we together? We looked at Acts 3 talking about Peter and John at the gate of the beautiful and got that man healed. And we said that irrespective of how we feel, rather, no matter how we feel or no matter how we feel at any point in time, our bodies remain transmitters of God's power. God's power, you know, can be communicated through the hands of someone who might have pain in his or her body. Right, it's God's wisdom, it's God's power, it's God's method on the earth. We looked at an example of Elijah in scriptures where he spoke about how a dead body was dropped on him, Elisha, you know, and the body came back to life. And we also looked at how Moses started using the laying on of hands, and we saw the laying on of hands first in the writings of Moses. We saw when Jacob laid hands on the children of Joseph. Is that true? Right, and exchanged the hands, and you know, Joseph, you know, tried to correct him. And we said that if there was nothing really about that, there was no point for Joseph to correct him. So we also looked at Numbers 25:15 when we had an instruction that Moses was to lay hands on who? Joshua, right? And something was going to happen. So Moses was going to lay hands on Joshua and give him a command, and he will be in rule or have a rule over the people of Israel, right? And we now saw in Deuteronomy 34 verse 9, Bible tells us that Joshua was full of wisdom because, are we together? Joshua was full of wisdom because hands were laid. Do you understand? Joshua was full of wisdom, for hands had been laid on him. So it means that when Moses laid hands on Joshua, there was something about his wisdom that became what? Wisdom that grew, or that became more prominent and became more visible in his administration of leadership amongst the people, right? So when hands are laid, things happen. When hands are laid, things happen. So we started looking on Sunday about the fact that whilst every believer ought to lay hands, there are certain responsibilities that not every believer will do. Are we together? We started looking at the ordaining of people into ministry, and we said that that responsibility is not for every believer. Are we together? So whilst every believer has the Holy Ghost, whilst every believer can function in the things of the Spirit, whilst every believer can flow in the power of the Holy Ghost, you know, not every believer can do everything that God wants to do on earth. Let me say it better, right? Every believer is called into the ministry of reconciliation. However, there will be times in the local church or in the ministry that there will be certain people who ought to lay hands on certain people to commission them, like we will say, into ministry. Now, the laying on of hands on those certain people will be a call into much more responsibility. We saw in Acts chapter 6 what the apostle said, that, oh, we'd rather not give ourselves to the serving of the table and the word, ministry of the word and prayer. So whilst we all give ourselves to the ministry of the word and prayer, there are certain people who you call deacons that will handle the serving of tables. Are we together? Bible tells us that they called Stephen and a few other people and lay hands on them. And we saw that something happened in the life of Stephen after hands were laid on him. He was first, you see how Luke makes you see that, oh, he was full of wisdom, full of grace, full of faith, and full of utterance. We said that on Sunday. We now said that afterwards we could see that he was full of grace and full of power, full of faith and full of power. Right, and mighty things were wrought through the hands of Stephen. We also looked at Acts chapter 13, you know, where it says, "Separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work sake where I have called them unto," and the apostles laid hands on them, you know. And we started looking at that on Sunday. We also saw Ananias lay hands on Paul in Acts 9, and what a view. So we also looked at, we started looking at baptism of the Holy Ghost, and we started giving an example of how a believer might not always have the time to show the Greek word or Bible scriptures to get someone filled in the Holy Ghost. Now, how do you get someone filled in the Holy Ghost, right? There are two ways I go about it, like I always tell you. I could either go through the doctrine, depending on how intellectual or how intellectual the person I'm dealing with tries to present himself or herself. Let me explain what I mean. You know, there's some people you will meet, and you're in their conversation, you know that this is an intellectual person. You know, let me say better. You will know that this is someone who gives himself to thinking. So, you know, and that is why we're teaching the doctrine of laying of hands, because it is a doctrine and it is a practice. Whilst we can do away with, or whilst the most important, or really, whilst it is the practice that is most important to us, so to say, but it ought to be taught as a doctrine. So you can meet someone, for instance, who says, nothing happens when hands are laid. So you can take them through scriptures, right? Or you meet someone who is not filled with the Holy Ghost, but full of the Holy Ghost. That is born again, but doesn't speak in tongues, right? And rather than taking through, so the two methods I use, I either use Mark 16, emphasize on verse 15 upon the 17, right? By extension, go to 1 Corinthians 12 or 1 Corinthians 14, you know, or use Ephesians 1, talk about the Spirit we received to emphasize Mark 16. Right, then go back to Mark 16 to emphasize the fact that they shall speak in new tongues. Right, or the second option just includes that you just lay hands on them and they begin to speak in tongues. Right, you don't, like I said, you don't have to lay hands on the head of someone before you've laid hands. Right, but you can touch someone on the shoulder and you've laid hands already. So we saw in scriptures, in the book of Acts chapter 9, when Samaria had received the word of truth, they now sent particularly two apostles for the sole purpose of what? The laying on of hands. Are we together? When Simon the sorcerer saw them and said, oh, I desire that gift, right? So that when I lay hands, things will happen. So they saw that when the apostles laid hands on people, they began to function in the things of the Spirit, right? So Philip had gone there to preach the gospel. They had received the gospel. They were already believers, right? And they particularly sent two apostles to that same Samaria for them to lay hands particularly. So it means that when they were going to the city of Samaria, they went there with the purpose to what? To lay hands for the baptism of the what? The Holy Ghost. Are we here? Are we here? So it means that when hands are laid, you can what? A man who did not used to speak in tongues can begin to speak in tongues. So if that can happen, listen to me carefully. If that can happen for speaking in tongues, it means it can happen for word of wisdom. Did you get that? Did you get that? If that can happen for speaking in tongues, now when Paul now takes it a step further to talk about the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, now concerning the spirituals, I will not have to be ignorant. He now says there are diversities of gifts. So he's trying to say that the tongues, right, from Mark 16, the tongues that Jesus emphasizes, right, has 8 other siblings. All together. So we have tongues, we have interpretation of tongues, we have prophecy. All together. We have word of wisdom, word of knowledge, we have word of, which are the game? Prophecy. Okay, so we have tongues, interpretation of tongues, and what? Utterance gifts, prophecy. We have the revelational gifts. What do we have? Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, right? Then we have the third one, which is power gifts, gift of faith, working of miracles, and the gift of what? Healing. So Paul now takes it a step further to say that, in the real sense, that Holy Ghost that supplies the new tongues can actually have or has 8 other gifts resident. So every believer who receives the Holy Ghost can speak in tongues. A step further, every believer who receives the Holy Ghost that speaks in tongues can function in the remaining 8 gifts of the Spirit highlighted by Paul in 1 Corinthians 12. Right? Why do we need the gifts of the Spirit? It's for effective ministry. Are we together? It's for effective ministry. For us to have an effective ministry, right? It's an advantage we have. We can see things ahead. We can see things that have happened behind. We can correct things that are to happen ahead. Are we together? And correct the effect of things that have happened behind by the power of the Holy Ghost. Right? So if Jesus says, or if we see rather, if Jesus says that when you believe the gospel, you shall speak with new tongues. The word there new is the word kainos, right? And it's the word that speaks about that which did not exist before. Right? So we have new tongues, you have the new man, the new creation, all of them are the same word, offshoot of the word new. Right? So new tongues is a tongue that is unique to the believer. So every believer upon the resurrection has a new tongue. So that new tongue remains new until the end of your days on the earth. Are we together? It is not, mind you, it is not new because you just received it. You get that? You know, for therefore if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. You know, I said that last year in Christ, that I spoke about how a lot of believers believe that new creation is about what just happens to you when you become born again. So after a few years, you are now what? Do you get that? So the new creation remains the new creation all through his days on the earth. Are we together? So new tongues, while it is new, it is not new because of that season of receiving something new. It remains new tongues forever. So the Holy Ghost in you can enable you to speak in tongues, or you can speak in tongues by the Holy Ghost in you. And we see that in Acts 9, hands were laid and they received the Holy Ghost, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Right? So if hands can be laid for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it means that hands can be laid to communicate the remaining 8 gifts of the Spirit. Did you get what I just said? Did you get what I just said? So, you can pick someone up who is born again and doesn't speak in tongues, and you lay hands on the person, and the person starts speaking in tongues. You can also lay hands on the person for the person to operate in word of knowledge, word of wisdom. I hope you know, it is not the laying on of hands that gave the believer the ability to speak in that tongues. Do you know that?
Yes, sir.
So, if you see a believer who doesn't speak in tongues, it is not when you lay hands that the ability comes upon the person. No, the ability has already been received upon the believing of the gospel. Right? What changes over time is recognition of that ability already received. Are we together? Are we together? So the laying of hands can communicate the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Right? Acts 8, rather, when they sent Peter and John. I've been saying Acts 9, Peter and John. And we're together. And we saw that Simon the sorcerer saw from afar and he was coveting it. And Jesus and Peter says, what? Thy money what? Perish. Look at Acts 19. Are you in Acts 19? Are you in Acts chapter 19? Are you in Acts 19? Are you sure? So let's read together. Acts 19 from verse 1. We're going up until verse 6. 1, 2, 3, go verse 1. GP. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? Hold on. Remember, we started explaining on Sunday that there's a difference between receive and receive. Right? There's a receive from outside, inside, and there's a receive from what? inside to demonstrate what? Outside. That's what lambano, right? So it means that you can receive the Holy Ghost, but you need to receive the Holy Ghost. Are we together? Why is it the same word receive? It's because there has been a translation into the English language. But in the Greek, the two Greek words for the word received, they are not the same. Did you get that? Did you get that? So he says, have you what? Received the Holy Ghost since you believe. Dear saints, when you believe, what do you receive? So how can you be asking somebody if he has received the Holy Ghost since he believed? It means that the receiving of the Holy Ghost he's talking about is different from the receiving of the Holy Ghost that you get upon what? Believing the gospel. Are we together? Are you here? So he says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you that question. You're a believer. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Yes and yes, or yes and no. Are we together? So can you go into the street right now and go and meet someone and get the person born again and ask him the question, and his answer will be yes and no? Why? Because when he hears the gospel and he believes it, he receives life, he has received the Holy Ghost. But when you see lambano, that is to take from that spirit, which you, so this is where you have some Pentecostal people speak about the difference between the spirit upon and the what? Spirit within, right? And you know, it's interesting, I will tell you for free, a lot of people actually believe that there are two spirits. And it's not a joke. A lot of people believe that there are two spirits. So when you believe the gospel, there's a spirit within. But there's something called the spirit upon that will come upon. Right? But a proper teaching will show you that the spirit within is the same spirit responsible for the spirit upon. It depends on how well the believer would take from the spirit within and put upon. And you know it's not to take. It's not a cup. So to take from within and put upon is to demonstrate an action. Altogether, to give expression to the spirit that is what? Within. So everybody here has received the Holy Ghost and has received the Holy Ghost. So if Paul asks you that question right now, what will be your answer? Yes and yes. Because when the gospel was preached, you received the Holy Ghost, and now for the flow of the Holy Ghost or the flow of the Spirit, there's such a thing as what? Lambano. Are we together? Are we together? Right? So he says, and they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be an Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you what? Baptized. And they said, unto John's baptism. Okay? Then said Paul, John verily baptized with what? Are you there? Verse 4, John verily baptized with a what? Baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on what? Jesus Christ. Then verse 5, 1, 2, 3, go. When they heard this, they were what? In the name of the Lord Jesus. Now verse 6 together, let's read verse 6 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And when Paul had... verse 6 together, everybody, 1 together. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. That is... Are you there? That is, they began. Right, you know, in Bible language or in Bible study, a word doesn't have an absolute meaning in all every context. Right, so you will see and in the Bible and you will think it's talking about two different things. But a lot of times, sometimes, it's used to explain what was said before. So for instance, 1 Corinthians 13 verse 14. Right, 2 Corinthians 13, 14. It says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet, my sister said sweet. That's lovely, right? And the sweet fellowship of the... What is that she's smiling? And the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit with you now and forever. Right, the word there and is the Greek word kai, and it's a word that is used to explain what was said before. So what is Paul saying in 2 Corinthians 13? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, I mean. The love of God, I mean. The fellowship of the Spirit. Same thing he taught in John, shows us in John 3. A man must be born of water and the Spirit, which is the Spirit. So when you see in Acts 19:6, Paul laid hands on them and they began to speak. It means that Paul laid hands on them, right? And they were what? He says something before that. He says the Holy Ghost came on them. So what is the Holy Ghost came on them? They began to speak with what? tongues and the what? So can we see the, can you see that Paul laid hands and we could see tongues and interpretation? Remember, Paul will teach to 1 Corinthians that prophecy is tongues plus interpretation. Are we together? So when you speak in tongues and you interpret it, right, ideally, so it might not always be prophecy. But he will teach in 1 Corinthians 14 as what? There is that which when a man prophesies, he speaks God's mind, right, to the people for edification. So it means that if Paul laid hands and they spoke in tongues and prophesied, it means that Paul can lay hands and you begin to operate the word of knowledge. Are you here? So, was it possible that when Paul laid hands, without having to teach doctrine, they begin to see in the spirit? Is it possible? Now, was it possible that Paul laid hands and did not have to teach them doctrine and they began to speak in tongues? Is that not what happened? So in the real sense, if Paul could lay hands, right? Are you here? If Paul could lay hands and they began to speak in tongues without exegesis, it means that Paul as well could lay hands and they will begin to what? Operate in the gift of healing without exegesis. All together. So hands can be laid on you and the next thing you do is to go and look for a sick person and you just get the person healed. Are we together? So we see that when hands are laid, things are what? Communicated. So it was a consistent practice. It interests you to note something. When Mark summarizes Mark 16, he only talks about the laying on of hands for healing the sick. But the apostles did not practice in Acts only laying on of hands for healing the sick. Did you get what I just said? Mark 16, right? He says what? They shall lay hands on the... You know, Jesus, in that context, you didn't hear Jesus or Mark tell you that Jesus said that, well, they shall lay hands on people and they shall begin to speak in tongues. Mark is definite about laying hands on the sick and they shall come up. But across the book of Acts, you see these apostles go a step further. Are you here? So it means that whilst laying of hands can be used for healing the sick, it can be used for other things as well. Because the book of Acts is a display of the early church to us as an example. Are we together? I'll say that one more time. The book of Acts is a display of the early church as an example for us to follow. And in the real sense, you will see that as a growing church. Praise God. I'll say that one more time. The book of Acts... How did I say it? Is a display of what? Okay, the book of Acts is a record of the display of the early church, of the activities of the early church... For us as an example to follow. That's what I said. Are we together? So, there is such a thing in God's holy nation as ministry gifts. Are you here? Are we going to? There's such a thing as ministry gifts in God's holy nation. There's such a thing as order in God's holy nation. Are we together? And this deals with the degree and the differences of functionality or responsibilities that certain people within God's holy nation operate under. I'll say it one more time. There's such a thing as what? Ministry gifts in God's holy nation. Right? And the call for ministry gift is a call to a function or a responsibility amidst God's what? Holy nation. I'll say it one more time. There's such a thing as what? Ministry gifts. There's such a thing as ministry gifts. And this deals with the functions and responsibilities, right, of certain people within God's what? Holy nation. Look at Jeremiah 3:15 quickly. Jeremiah 3. Are you in Jeremiah 3? We are still writing. Jeremiah 3. Are you there? Jeremiah is in the Old Testament. Jeremiah 3. Are you in Jeremiah 3? Look at verse 13. He says, only acknowledge thy iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have obeyed not my voice, says the Lord. Let's read verse 14 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to what? Zion. Now let's read verse 15 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Right? So the promise of a pastor amongst God's holy city or God's holy nation, or the fulfillment of the ministry gift of a pastor, has been promised from time, like we say in the book of Jeremiah. Are we together? So, amongst God's holy nation, whilst everybody that is a believer can operate in all the gifts of the Spirit, everybody that is a believer is called to be a goer. Are we together? A groaner. Remember that? And a what? And what does that really mean? It really means that what? We have people, or we are called into a ministry of reconciliation, and we are called to all go out of our comfort zone to preach the gospel. Right? So we don't have, like we said, we don't have certain people who will give us money, right? So I say, you know, you are working in NNPC, you are working in DPR, you are working in oil and gas, one oil and gas company, you know, your own. Your responsibility in the local church is for you to what? Go and work and bring money to give to us. And now look for one brother that doesn't have any job. You have to be a goer. There's nothing else. You have to be a goer. Another brother too, who doesn't have job but can shout, you have to be a groaner. You know, that is not God's will. It is every believer is a groaner, a goer, and a giver. Are we together? Right? But whilst we have what you call God's holy nation, with every believer with those responsibilities, we have certain offices that people will operate in to bring you into maturity. Ephesians 4, right? And he gave some. We said the Greek word for the word there, some, is the word certainly. Right, you know, we are taught before that when Paul teaches Ephesians 4, he says he gave some. So it is like some people pastors, some people evangelists, some people prophets. But if you have a good Bible, you realize that there is only one some in that verse, just like 1 Corinthians 12 that we've taught extensively, right? And the word there, some, is a wrong translation in today's English. But pastor, you're correcting the Bible. Yes, we can correct the Bible. In fact, we ought to correct a lot of things in the King James Version. True of us. Definitely. I mean, that's why we're doing Bible study, right? There are lots of things that will sway you unawares, or that will take you unawares, that seems to be contradictions in the Bible. Altogether, for instance, we're talking about that on In Christ's Day, John 1:17. The law was given by Moses, then grace and truth came by. Now, did we go back to Moses' writing to see that Moses thought about the grace and truth that will come from a person? Right, so the law was given by Moses, or so how did he change the KJV interpretation? The law that was given by Moses is the grace and the truth that came by Jesus. Remember, we said that Jesus and Moses did not teach opposite things, they taught the same thing. Are we together? What Jesus taught, everything, John 1:45, Philip 5, Nathanael, and Saint Nathanael, behold, he whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write about, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, John 5:39, search in the scripture, you think in them you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. Verse 45, he now says, but if you had believed Moses, you would have believed my words, because he wrote about me. If you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? So Moses' teaching were the fundamentals, and they were the strict materials that Jesus taught from, alongside with the prophets. Right? We also said that every other prophet, including Jesus and Paul, quoted Moses and taught from Moses. Are we together? So when Moses was teaching, you would have seen law. No, your mind ought to remember. So remember, we said we're under the law. We said that now. Are you not under the law, Brian? We are looking at me. Yeah. So we said, you know, it is a lazy approach to Bible study that makes a believer say we are no longer under law, we are under grace. When you want to say that kind of statement, you have to complete it well. Are we together? Because there's a law of faith and there's a law of works. Are we together? So we are under the law of faith. It is a law. Right? So the law of Moses, the writings of Moses, the doctrine of Moses is what Jesus had to teach from. So Jesus will teach strictly from the writings of Moses and the prophets. There was nothing about his ministry that was outside the writings of Moses and his prophets. Are we together? They all had their basis from the writings of Moses. So Moses is one of the greatest men on earth. Are we here? You cannot be a solid Bible student without being a student of Moses. It's impossible. Did you hear what I said? Yeah, you might have surface knowledge because it's easy to quote Ephesians, Galatians. Why? Because they are short books. Some of you, when you get to First King, don't you jump? How many of you have read Leviticus? How many of you have read Exodus? How many chapter in Exodus? You know. See, when you are under the law, you talk plenty, but under grace is few words. See, every few word you see in Ephesians, Galatians, they are gotten as. Now, I'll teach something soon. There's something in Bible study called pilot text. What's a pilot text? It's in English language, really. A pilot text is that text that looks like a summative text, but is taken from an extensive material. Did you get what I mean? Right? So let me give you an instance. Look at Psalm 118. Okay. Go to Acts 4. Are you in Acts 4? Are you in Acts 4? Are you sure? Don't use your neighbor's answer to answer. Are you in Acts 4?
Yes, sir.
Beautiful. Look at Acts 4, verse 10. Be it known unto you, all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you what? Crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Let's read verse 11 together. 1, 2, 3, go. This is the stone which the builder, or which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the what? Head of the corner. Neither is salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given by amongst men, whereby we must be what? See. Now, Acts 4:11. Please check your Bibles. Acts 4:11 is a pilot text. What is the pilot text again? Remind me. A summative text that has an extensive background. Right? So if we say that Acts 4:11 is a pilot text, it means we need to find out the extensive background. Go back to Psalm 118. Psalm 118, are you there? Are you there in verse 22? Psalm 118, verse what? 22. Are we here? Can we read together? 1, 2, 3, go. The stone which the builders refused has become the what? The headstone of the corner. Is that what Acts 4:11 said? So it means that to understand Acts 4:11, you must have the foundation of Psalm 100 and what? 18. So look at Psalm 118 again. The stone which the builder refused has become the headstone of the. What do you say in verse 23 in your Bible? This is the what? What was the next thing Peter said in Acts 4? There is no other person by which salvation will be found or be received from men or by men. So it means that the stone which the builder has rejected has become the chief cornerstone is a salvation what? Text. So when Psalm 118 now tells you this is the Lord's doing, it is what? Is he talking about a car? A house? A job? Look at the next verse. What does it say? This is the what? And this is the day that the Lord. Is he talking about Wednesday, the 18th of May? What did we do? We picked a pilot text from Acts 4, right? And we are seeing the roots. So the conversation of this is the day the Lord has made. This is the day. Oh, yeah. I will. And be glad. So, this is the day the Lord has made. Whilst it is a good statement from a believer, not Bible text. You know, it's what we used to use and cheer ourselves when we come on Sunday. Oh, why are you looking so moody? The day is the day the Lord has what? Or when your family rejects you in your house, you say, you know, I'll come back for you. Bible says that the stone that the builder rejected, who is the builder? Your family members. The stone with the builder rejected, don't worry, I'll become the chief cornerstone. It is of righteousness. Nothing in scriptures promises you to be the wealthiest in your family. Let me say better. Nothing in scriptures promises anybody here to be the wealthiest in your lineage. Say wahala. We like deceiving ourselves. Let me say one more time. Nothing in scripture. Wealth is not promised in salvation. Wealth is not a gift of the resurrection. It's a lie. Most of us that are saved don't. You get it, right? So wealth is not. Some of you get it when you get home. Yeah. Most of us that are saved, we have a long way to go. Let's just say it like that, right? So wealth is not a gift. So when you say, I'm the stone that my people rejected me, right? They saw me, they didn't know that, you know. For instance, let me use my mom as an example. When I was growing up, my mom has told me this story several times, that our family members saw her fingers that they were long, and they said she'll be good, and she'll be a good typewriter. They didn't want to send her to school. And they didn't want to send her to school. They said that she just go to one Sabbath cafe and learn how to be typing. So imagine she now says, you people rejected me. We'll see in front. The stone which the family rejected, but come, so I'm not the one that will feed all of you. No, 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 no. The stone which the builder rejected is a conversation of Jesus Christ that was rejected by the people, right? And it becomes the chief cornerstone, right? The chief cornerstone in Zion. Are we together? So Christ is the stone that is laid in Zion. Are we together? First Peter tells us that. So he now says, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our sight. It's not your car. Right? It's not your house. The Lord's doing is in the fact that what? The stone that was rejected became the chief cornerstone that supplies salvation to man. Are we together? So when he says, this is the day the Lord has made, we rejoice. It's not Wednesday. It's not Sunday. It's a dispensation. Are we together? So we're in that day the Lord has made, which is the last days. Hallelujah. I hope you know we're not waiting for any last days again. We're in the last days. Hallelujah. We're in the last days. Right? So everything you see as war is not a sign to show you the last days. No, we're in the last days from the resurrection. Are we together? That Ukraine is fighting Russia today is not a proof that we're in the last days. No, we've been in those days. That's why when Peter now quotes Joel, he says, in the last days I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. Right? It's something that God planned to do in the resurrection day. Hallelujah. So day will not be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but a season, a dispensation, a time frame, which will be up until eternity. Are we together? So we see that in Bible study, I took you there because I was showing you something in Ephesians 4. So he says he has given some, the word there, some, is the Greek word, right? What? Certainly, assuredly, or indeed. So in the resurrection, he has given assuredly the office of a pastor. Are we together? He has given assuredly the office of a prophet, the office of an evangelist. So believers will fit into those offices and operate in those offices. Are we together? So can your pastor be a prophet? Yes, can your pastor be an evangelist? Yes, your pastor ought to be a teacher? Yes, and your pastor ought to be can be an apostle? Are we together? Anyone your mind wants, if you want to call, anyone you want to call yourself, whether apostle or pastor or reverend, anyone you want to call yourself, it's just your choice. Are we together? Are we together? Yes, sir. Are we here? Yes, sir. So, in the real sense, there's such a thing as ministry gifts within God's holy nation that is with a goal to impact knowledge and understanding to believers. Are we together? Are we together? It's God's wisdom. Look at what happened to Timothy, what Paul reminds Timothy. Look at 1 Timothy 4. Are you in 1 Timothy 4? Are you in 1 Timothy 4? Look at verse 13. 1 Timothy 4, verse 13. He says, till I come, give attendance to what? Reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. What do you suppose Paul will look forward to his coming? Or what do you expect him? What do you expect Timothy to look forward to in Paul's coming? Have you read Romans 1, where he says that I look forward to coming to you so that I might impact you? So what do you think Paul or Timothy should look forward to in Paul's coming? Not to snap selfie now. Impartation. But see what he says immediately. Now let's read verse 14 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Follow attentively. Which was given thee by prophecy with the what? Laying on of hands of the presbytery. The word the presbytery just means elders. Right? Let's read verse 15 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Meditate upon those things. Give thyself wholly to them that are profiting. Now, Paul is writing a letter to Timothy. And he says, don't forget that hands were laid on you. What did he say about that? Meditate on the fact that hands were laid on you. Are we together? So it means that hands can be laid on you and you don't acknowledge it and nothing will be evident in your life. Did you get that? Hands can be laid on you and you don't acknowledge it and nothing will be evident in your life. So whilst laying of hands is very important, the after activities is also important. Are we together? Paul says, neglect not the gifts that were given to you by prophecy and by the laying on of hands. Meditate upon these things so your profiting may appear to all. So in the real sense, where hands are laid on you, you can... Let me give you an instance. There are some times I want to operate in some gifts of the Spirit, right? And I... So, you have said this before. For almost every major milestone I've achieved in things of the Spirit, I can point it to a time that hands were laid on me. Have you heard me say that before? I can point it to a time. So I'm someone who I remember all the laying on of hands I've received by certain people. Are we together? Now, there are some times that I might not feel like I'm spiritual enough, but I will still operate in the gifts of the Spirit. And I will tell you for free, what has helped me is that I pondered on the fact that hands were laid on me. What do I mean? So it might look like there's, someone is sitting in front of me, for instance, and I want to pray for this person that is sick, and I feel like maybe I just, you know, if you're not careful with your renewed mind, you can think that you cannot minister to the sick if you've not fasted. I hope you know that. I hope you know where you fast to come to church on Sunday. It's not because you want to receive more. So what do you expect of me? So imagine if I ought not to eat before I minister and I want to do vigil that is starting by 8 o'clock, I'll not eat all day. I'll not come here and just say Ige. Say, Pastor Joseph Polo, say Ige. Right, I will start saying Ige to the end of the 12 hours finish. Right? So the truth is that it has to do with a renewal of your mind. Let me say this without sounding too extreme. Let me not say it. Because there's no how some of you will not take it as extreme. But I will not say it. What I mean is, you can be coming from a dining table and lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. Are we together? You can be coming from the restroom and lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. Let me tell you something again. You can be going to the place of prayer and lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. You said in Acts 4. Bible tells you that Peter and John were going to the temple at the hour of prayer. They had not gone to pray first. Are we together? They had not gone to pray. They were going to pray. Then they did the working of miracles of a man who has been lame at the gate of beautiful. So you can lay hands on the sick. So there is never a time on earth that the believer is without power. I said all of you to say this. So there are some times when my mind might be struggling with my knowledge. And what I remind myself about is that hands have been laid on me. 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 Words have been spoken over me. That is what Paul asked Timothy to do in verse 15. Meditate upon these things so that your words appearing may what? Your prophecy may what? Appear unto all men. Praise God. Praise God. So when hands are laid, things can happen. So Paul was telling Timothy that laying on of hands is not just an event. It's not a ceremonial event. Right? So there's something about remembering. So he says, meditate upon these things and give thyself. So prophecies were said and hands were laid. Meditate on what was said alongside the fact that hands were laid on you. Are we together? So he says, do not trivialize. Do not neglect. Remember. Are we together? Are we together? So it means that laying of hands sometimes might be ceremonial, but things happen. Praise God. Praise God. And that is why when it seems too ceremonial, you ought not to look Or you ought to look beyond the ceremony and see what the supernatural activity that is happening. Do you get what I just said? Whilst it might look ceremonial, you ought to look beyond the ceremonies and look at the supernatural activities that what that is happening. Look at 2 Timothy. Paul says the same thing again. 2 Timothy 1:6. Praise God. Are you in 2 Timothy 1? Are you there? 2 Timothy 1:6. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir of the gift of God which is in thee by the what? Putting on of my. Is that laying on of hands? So what was Paul to do, or what was Timothy to do? It was what? I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up. Are we together? So it means that you might not feel things change in your physical body, but things happen when hands are actively laid on you. Are we together? So we said that man is God's method. It means that ministry gifts amongst God's holy men will still be God's method. Did you get that? I'll say that one more time. Man is God's method on the earth. Right? We've explained scriptures, and we've come to understand that the use of heaven and earth is a use, or is a word, or is a phrase used to speak about the union between God and man. Are we together? So when Jesus says all power in heaven, remember we said something, that heaven in scriptures is not used to talk about where dead people what go to, right? I would say we'll teach about that extensively in Salvation Series 2, right? So when you say heaven, you should think supernatural, or think spiritual, or think a control throne or a control room, right? So now when a man believes the gospel, he has received heaven into his heart. Are we together? He is saved forever. His sins are forgiven forever. He can never perish. God is responsible for keeping his salvation to the end of time. So that means that God is responsible for the power that is indwelt in the believer. Altogether, the indwelling spirit in the believer, God is responsible for keeping that spirit there perpetually, continuously, forever. Nothing can make the spirit of God in a man leave the man. Nothing is impossible. Outrightly impossible. Totally impossible. Why? Because when you think about salvation, you don't think about yourself. You think about that Savior that supplies salvation. So if the Savior that supplies salvation is an eternal Savior, it means that what he will supply is eternal salvation. Are we together? So once a man hears the gospel and believes, he's been snatched from darkness and he's been brought into God's marvelous kingdom, marvelous light. So the laying on of hands by ministry gift is something you look forward to. Are you here? It's something you look forward to. Why? Because it is God's method amongst God's holy men. What do I mean? In God's holy nation, we have believers. Are we together? There will be certain people that will operate in certain offices, that is, function in certain responsibilities, right? And in the real sense, they will be given certain tasks to do to enable you what? Progress in the faith. To have better knowledge of God's word, or better understanding. So Jeremiah 3:15 tells you, I will give you pastors after my heart, and they shall what? Train you in knowledge and what? Understanding. Praise God. So whilst every believer ought to lay hands, there are certain offices that not every believer will what? Operate in. So laying of hands is something that happens beyond the ceremony. Things happen supernaturally. Are we together? Let me say this carefully now. So, in as much as you have a pastor, for instance, in God's palace, who wants you to operate in all the gifts of the Spirit, right? There are still certain responsibilities that... So, for instance, if God wants to deal with or tackle certain conversations in God's palace, he will do it first through the lips of the angel of the church. Are we here? Remember the series we did on Revelation? Right? And we said, when John would say to the angel of the church in Sardis... Right, I would say the word the angel is what? the pastor of the local church. He will use candlesticks, use a lot of things to write, but he's talking about the revelation of Christ and his church. So he will say that what to the angel of the church, hear you the word of living God. This is what the Lord asked you to correct your local assembly, right? So that your local assembly might what? Grow. So it means that if God wants to correct us in God's palace, he will correct us through the lips of what? The lead, that is the angel, that is the pastor of the church. Are we together? Whilst God can still minister to you, about certain things he wants us to correct in local church, who is responsible for accountability in the local church is the local church pastor. Are we together? That is why we cannot just come to church one Wednesday or one Sunday. And all of a sudden, after we finish singing, we'll just be speaking in tongues. And it is the next person who the Holy Ghost tells that will just go and teach, bring the word. And Sister Presbyter will just stand up and just say, wow, you know, the Lord has laid it on strong on my heart to bring the word today. And when she finish, we now go. No, there's a structure. There's what you call order among saints. There's what you call a structure among saints. So, for instance, there will be an accountability structure that is placed in my hands that none of you else here can operate in. Did you get that? There are some corrections I will bring that none of you else can correct the church about. Did you get that? It is God's order. It is God's method in the earth. Amongst men, there will be people who will bring certain corrections to you. So whilst your pastor wants you to operate in all the gifts of the Spirit, there are certain things that God will hold accountable to your pastor when it comes to the conversion of a local church. So what's the work of a pastor? To train you in the work of ministry, for the work of ministry, so that what? You do the work of ministry outside the church and in the church together. Are we together? That you render service, you be a solid minister of the gospel. Praise God. Praise God. So it's God's structure that there is the pastor, you have the elders, you have the deacons, we have your leaders, so to say, you know, and in the real sense, it means that what? There are certain responsibilities that not everybody will function in. But, you know, it doesn't also mean that because I'm functioning in certain responsibilities, I'm a senior son of God. You know that? Right? I'm not a senior son of God. I don't have a more different spirit than the spirit you have. Hallelujah. It's the same spirit. Praise God. So there's no senior son of God. There's no senior daughter of Zion. There's no senior, right? We are all what with the same spirit. We are all called sons of God. Are we together? So it is in the responsibilities that distinction is made. That's important to note. It is in the responsibilities and the functions in the local church that the distinction is made. Whilst we all have the same spirit, it is in the responsibilities, right? And is in the responsibilities and the functions that the distinction is made. Look at Romans 12:3. Are you there? Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Are you there? Have you gone? Let's read Romans 12:3 together to verse 4. 1, 2, 3, go. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is amongst you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as what God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now look at the context to see what measure of faith is about. Look at verse 4, 1, 2, 3, go. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same what? Office. Are we together? Right, so we have many members, we are all sons of God, but there are certain responsibilities and functions. And I said something again, I said it is in the responsibility that the distinction is what is made. Praise God. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. Are you there? Look at what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 12. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. I will beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor amongst you. Are those ministry gifts? Are those your leaders? Your pastors, right? Let's read again. 1, 2, 3, go. I will beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor amongst you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Verse 13 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And to esteem them very highly in love for their what? For their work's sake, and be at peace amongst yourself. So you see Paul all across scriptures talking about how you recognize those who labor amongst you, right, and esteem them what for their work's sake. Esteem them for their work's sake. You know, another scripture will tell you, you know, they're deserving, 1 Timothy, deserving of double honor, right? So in the laying of hands, it is a ministry and a scripture, or it is a scriptural ministry, so to say. And when this happens, supernatural, spiritual things are being what? Communicated, are being transmitted. Now, so we can lay hands to heal the sick. Have we seen that extensively in scriptures? Lay hands for impartation. Have we seen that? We can lay hands for commissioning people into what? Ministry. Is that more responsibility? Are we together? Right? And we can lay hands to bless people. I've not told that. Look at, turn with me to Matthew 10, rather. Or Mark 10, sorry. Mark 10, 16. Mark 10, 16. Dear saints, Mark 10, 16. Oh, are you there?
Yes,
all right, love. Let's read Mark 10, 16 together. One, two, three, go. And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them. And what? So Jesus laid hands to what? Bless them. So he laid hands and he spoke. So he took them up in his hands, put hands upon them, and he what? He blessed them. So he laid hands on them and spoke. So you can use hands to what? Bless people. Are we together? So when hands are laid, this is important to note, when hands are laid, things might not happen, or you might not feel anything. Are we together? You might not feel anything, right? But things have happened. Say things have happened. Say things happen. Say things happen. Say things happen. Say things happen when hands are laid. Are we together? So it means that when hands are laid, if you are well taught and you know that things happen, it means that when hands are laid or when hands are about to lead, there's a slant you ought to put your heart, there's a slant of your heart you ought to what? You ought to have. Or the slant of heart you ought to have. Did you get that? When hands are laid and words are spoken, there's a slant of heart that you ought to have. So, number one, we'll look at that shortly. How to receive when hands are laid. Altogether. So it means that when hands are about to be laid, you don't just look around and see what's happening.
You say you want to lay and do it now.
Well, no, you're not among those in Acts 2 that were asking, what means this? Altogether. Bible tells you in Acts 2 they were speaking in tongues and giving tongues and interpretation. And some were going around saying, what means this? What does this mean? Right? These ones are nothing but drunk people in the morning. But Peter stood up and, you know, answered them from scriptures and said, these are not drunk men. For it is but the third hour of the day, but they are men full of the Holy Ghost. Are we together? So there's a slant you have to have. You ought to have. So when hands are about to be laid, one of the things you can do is to stay praying. Number one, you stay praying. You can stay praying when hands are about to be laid. You can stay praying. Don't watch around. Don't look around. Don't ask what is happening. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? You stay praying. You stay in tongues while hands are laid on you. Now, so when before hands are laid on you, you can stay in tongues. Now, if hands are laid on you and words are spoken, you can yield to the Holy Ghost in regards to the words that were spoken. What do I mean? It means that if words are spoken and you hear, maybe I lay hands on you, for instance, and I say something about ministry and your local environment, your locality, right? It means that is... I'm saying something about the work of ministry prospering through your hands yet more and more, for instance. You know, you can yield to the Holy Ghost by rejoicing and stay in prayers. Are we together? So, if Jesus had laid hands on those people, on those kids, for instance, right, as a well-taught child of God, when hands are laid, since you know that man is God's method in the earth, it means that when hands are laid, you ought to yield to the Holy Ghost in line with the words that were spoken when hands were laid. You get that? You ought to yield to the Holy Ghost. You ought to yield to the Holy Ghost. You ought to yield to the Holy Ghost when hands are about to be laid or when hands are laid. Another thing you need to take note of particularly is the fact that you ought to always make yourself available. Let me ask you write that down. Write that down quickly. Make yourself available. Make yourself available for hands to be laid. Make yourself available for hands to be laid. For when hands are laid, things are communicated, things are imparted.
right? Numbers 27 tells you that Moses laid hands on Joshua. Deuteronomy 34 tells you that he was full of wisdom, for hands were laid on him. So hands can be laid on you, and you operate. See, hands can be laid on you, and you will operate in a new dimension of wisdom in leadership or administration in the local church, for instance. Are we together? Are we together? So the ministry of laying of hands is a doctrine and it's a practice of the local church. Let me ask you a question. Imagine if some of the disciples were absent in Acts 2:1 on the day of Pentecost. You know, this is where that conversation comes. You know, some of you, you program your mind to miss meetings. Are we together? You program your mind. I was there on Sunday. Must I be there Wednesday? I'm there on Wednesday. Must I be there Friday? If I'm there on Friday, Friday. You know, not every meeting carries the same weight. You know, there's some meetings that if you miss, you might miss for a long time, or it might take you a long time to recover what you... Do you suppose that without hands being laid on Joshua, Joshua would have administered properly? Be careful. Be careful. It wasn't a dullard now. He probably would have ministered. Are we together? But when you see Joshua's administration, you will say that he was a man full of wisdom. Are we together? What am I saying? It means that there are some days. It means there are some days that when hands are laid, for instance, right, even though hands will be laid the next time, it will not be the same. Are we here?
Yes, sir.
What does that mean? Not every meeting. There was only, let me say this way, there was only one first day of Pentecost. Did you hear what I said? There was only one first day of Pentecost. I'll say it again. In history, there's only been one first day of Acts 2:1. Were there no other believers meeting in the book of Acts? There were other believers meeting now. Acts 30, when he says separate me unto, but that's a believers meeting now. There were several believers meeting across Acts, but there was only one first. Do you know what I said? There was only one first Acts 2 encounter. So it means that there's going to be, there will only be a first, there will only be one first, there will only be one second, there will only be one third, and there will only be one fourth. And there will only be one fifth. So hands can be laid on you on first, second, fourth, fifth meetings. But there's a difference between the first meeting, the second meeting, the third meeting, the fourth meeting. So you can't afford to choose when you want to come around or when you want to make yourself available. That's why you ought to be a member of local church. You know, don't be a local church member. You know, there are some of you here that I know that did not give birth to any of your friend well to invite you for naming on a Sunday. I know you all now, Abby. Let me say it better. There are some of you that are here. Your friends they are not bold enough to say, come and for a name ceremony on Sunday. Why? Because they know how committed you are to your local assembly. Why there are some of you, when they are preparing the list of names ceremony on Sunday, your name is number one. Brandon, so will be Brandon, so number one. You'll be at my name. Learn to put your heart in a place where you are readily available to receive God's word. Be at every meeting in the country, because things will always keep happening. Are we together? Are we together? Don't be that person who they can all of a sudden and they are doing a ministry. You know, my mother's family church. I know there are some situations where they will threaten you. And you know, for instance, you can stay with your father or your uncle or your brother. And they say, if you don't come to my church, as you are just coming from that your church like that, you will meet your box downstairs. There are situations like that. But don't be the one helping your neighbor to carry chicken to their church Thanksgiving. They buy chicken, they buy yam. It's not serious. They buy chicken, they assure Bralemi will be there to carry yam for them. And Bralemi too. There's something Bralemi is supposed to do in local church. Bralemi will be carrying yam and chicken and be following them behind. It is a great thing, walking in the light. Oh, walk. And they'll be following them and they'll be dancing. Now they say, what did you learn? You know how to learn how to handle live chicken. So, see, in the real sense, there are some
There are some times that you cannot escape it. Let it be that it got to that extreme. Are we together? You know, even if I was not a pastor, when I was not a pastor, none of my friends, because it wasn't difficult to know that I was giving to God. So I didn't know anybody who was bold enough to invite me for something very frivolous. During 20 years remembrance of my dad's passing. 20 years remembrance. You know what? We're just marking. If you know, you ought to be readily available. Imagine people in Acts 2. Are you telling me that the people in Acts 2, Jesus told them for 40 days? Old. Are you telling me that in 40 to 50 days, they didn't have legitimate reasons to leave those meetings? They did. Are we together? Now, how to receive when hands are laid? The primary way to receive when hands are laid is by having a heart of honor. Are we together? Honor is primary when wanting to receive the ministry of laying of hands. What is honor? Honor means to respect or to prize or to cherish or to exalt or to adore or to revere. Right? Or not to treat as common. So you honor God's gift and you honor God's activity. So there's the honor of the gift, that is the person, that is God's man, knowing that God's man is God's method. And there's also the honor of the activity, knowing that things happen when hands are laid. Are we together? So when hands are to be laid, either by a believer or by a ministry gift, you ought to honor. Say honor. Are we together? You ought to honor. Right? What does honor mean? It means to exalt, to adore, to cherish, to revere, to respect, to prize. Right? What does honor mean? Honor means I choose to see you the way God sees you. Hallelujah. Honor means I choose to see you the way God sees you. Honor means I choose to see you the way God. So when you see a believer, you choose to see the believer despite the information you know about the believer. Are we together? Despite the information you know about the believer, you choose to see the believer the way God sees the believer. Because God sees the believer as righteous in Christ Jesus. Are we together? That is why no matter how much you hate another man, you cannot farm God into your corner to hate somebody alongside with you. Are we together? Do you know what I'm trying to say? You know, in this part of the world, we like to do it. We are in church praying for other believers to die because they did not give us contract. Or because they didn't promote you. Every man sitting any man that wants to remove the ladder of my progress. What are you living for? Somersault, catch fire. We have some very interesting people right now. They say they don't add die. You didn't get. When you somersault and catch fire, what is left? You somersault and catch fire, what is left? Say, I'm who God says I am. Say, I revere God's ability. I revere God's power in fellow believers and ministry gifts. So you ought to see fellow believers and ministers the way God sees them. Say, I will not treat as common what is sacred to God. Say it again. Say, I will not treat as common what is sacred to God. So it means that there's a way you can treat something sacred as sacred. Are we together? You know, imagine when you were small. How many of you played football in your father's living room when you were small? Your sitting room, right? And they flogged you. If you flogged, let me see your hand. So you played football in your father's sitting room and they flogged you. Why did they flog you? Was it because of playing football? No, it was because you were playing football in the wrong place. Are we together? Daddy, you made the rug of the sitting room to be green. It looks like carpet grass. They will beat you. And you know those days, our parents did not want us to be footballers. Nowadays, nowadays you are enrolling your children in a football academy from age 3. Why? Because we've heard the salary they are paying them every week. So those days where it will be like, we'll come on play. I remember those days. I want to remember those days right now.
Because I used to play, I can play football with anything. Anything.
You will see me playing football with Ragoli's container, cover of Byron, I'll be sweating. What are people on the field, on the pitch?
You know, then in school, I used to win the most neatest boy. You know, and when you see me on Monday morning, all the mornings, I'm always cleaning my handkerchief neat. In the old school, not neatest boy in my class alone, in the entire school, they used to give me crown. They'll come, you're laughing. They used to give me crown. I'll show you one of my pictures one day. Right? You've seen it before. Neatest boy crown. I'll come and stand for the neat boy. Just wait till 12. The way my socks, white socks on the morning, will blend with the brown, because I used to wear brown sandal. The way it will blend with this thing, you think it's a new shoe. Or a new design of shoe. Right? You know, but then, and I know one of the very interesting things about me was that when I was much younger, I was very, so I was more into neatness than school. Oh my goodness. So my siblings, they are more brilliant than I am, really. You know, but they used to take first in their class. She used to take first out of 125 people. First position. Who are you? Why? Who anointed you? You know, so when they take first, my brother too will take his own first, take second. Very brilliant people. Me, it's only Nitesh Boy Award. I will go. I can never forget in my GS1, they gave Nitesh Boy Award. My dad was in church, ministry to the lost. The people in the church, and they came back, all of us were, Daddy, yo, I know you, that you know this handkerchief you won. Your daddy, yo, will be from the back. And he came to the house, she presented her own. Wow, that's my daughter. That's my son. I brought my handkerchief. That day, my dad opened the gift bag, face to face. First, he used to clean it. He first used to clean his face. Because I was coming for him, he had a long day. If I used the first word, I felt terrible. My award. Interesting thing, I had just gone to a new school. Do you understand? I was so neat to the point that they didn't know I used to call any test boy in my former school. I still get to the new school, they gave me test boy. Oh, God has saved me. I used to get that. God has saved me. I can't imagine if that's what I can account for in life, me test boy. Yeah, but the point is this, right? I could play football with anything, anywhere, and when anybody comes, you know how when you were growing up now, when daddy comes and everywhere, the way we used to arrange the house in 2 seconds. Nobody does it like us. Nobody does it like us, you know. When we now realize our parents will catch if you watch TV. You know, you watch TV, your parents will say, read, though, make sure you read, though. I'm going to come back in the evening. From morning to evening, watching film, watching movie, when you just say, bim, you just put up the TV, open book. And you just go to the back of the TV, they can't touch the back of the TV. You use the heat there to fry plantain. You know, that is the diode inside that sport. It's bubbling on its own. You know, but why did your dad flog you for playing football in the living room? Not because there was something wrong with football, but because you didn't treat as sacred what you ought to treat as sacred. Are we together? Yes. Right? It's a living room where people sit. That's why they call it living room. You know, there's a difference between living room and sitting room. Not everybody has living room, but everybody can have sitting room. Seller, right? So, in the real sense, the problem is you didn't hold as sacred what you ought to hold as sacred. So, it means that if you understand now from this series that man is God's method, it means that you ought to treat man as sacred. Every believer ought to be viewed as sacred in your eyes. You know, we have this treasure, God's holy treasure, in earthen vessels. You know, people who don't seem like. This is another important thing to note, how to receive. Learn to speak good words. Are we together? Learn to speak good words. Learn to speak good words. Learn to speak good words. Right? So if, for instance, you know that God's method is to use your ministry gift to minister to you, it means you learn to put your heart in a place of always speaking well about your pastor. Are we together? Right, always speaking well about the person, because the truth is that there is an extent you will speak about a pastor or someone who God ought to use for you, and you will not be able to receive anything at all. The best of men on earth is a man. Men will not always be perfect, but God's wisdom and God's ability is perfect and will always be perfect, which is what man is God's method in the earth. Are we together? Altogether. So you make honor a part and parcel of your life.
You avoid distractions. You avoid distractions when hands are about to be laid on you. Avoid distractions. Right? You avoid distractions. I remember Paris Camp meeting 2021. I finished first session. Glory to God. Nothing happened. Second session, third session, fourth session. The session that Pastor Onyeka was supposed to lay hands. Guess what happened? This was the clothes I wore. Maybe that is remembrance. I wore this clothes and then my phone, new phone I just bought, flipped out my pocket. I was rejoicing. Flipped out my pocket and it scattered on the phone. You know, do you know the funny thing? When we finished rejoicing, our eye came down. You know, when I saw my phone, I didn't believe it was my phone. I touched my phone, it wasn't there, but I didn't believe. I just, you know, I just didn't want to admit that it was my phone. And I kept looking at it. I started asking, please, whose phone is this? Because the phone, I just switched the phone before I came for, I went for the meeting, you know, and I saw that was a devil wanted to put my heart in a terrible place. And I picked the phone, I threw it in my pocket. I had to talk in tongues throughout that meeting, because what the devil will do is to remind you how much that phone is. Do you understand? I had to make sure I kept talking in tongues, because so. It means you avoid distractions. So this last guy came, they didn't tell me before I know not to carry my phone to the auditorium. I didn't want to talk in tongues again. Remember, my phone was scattered. Once it was time for me to like, I dropped my phone in the room. He was like, call me. You will not get me. I said, maybe once in a while when I know I'll wear jeans. And my jeans was, you know, there's jeans and there's jeans. When you put the jean inside, no matter what happens, you rejoice when you touch. At least it's better than that one that was doing MetaTrader 4, where we're rejoicing. So it means that when hands are about to be laid, avoid distractions. That's not a time to pick up. They're saying that's not a time to go to the toilet. Some of you are so fond of going to the restroom. Some of you use God's Palace restroom to rest. I think maybe we need to change the name from toilet and put toilet. So everybody will know that it's toilet you are going to. Some of you use the restroom to rest. The truth is that, and when you come to church, try and make yourself readily available throughout the meeting. Are we together? Make yourself available throughout the meeting. Avoid distractions. That's what I was telling that our sister that came down on Sunday. I asked her to eat well on Sunday before she came. Because you had better eat, you had better have something to eat before a meeting than to go to the meeting and be hungry and not listen to what he said. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Yes. Let's not deceive ourselves. You know, because the culture of fasting, it's good to fast. In my life, I can count the number of Sundays I've eaten. In my life, when I mean my life, I mean from when I began to know left, maybe from age 4 or 5, from MFM days, I can count the number of Sundays I've eaten in my life. I can count it. Throughout my university days, there was only one Sunday I wasn't feeling fine. I had to take a drug. Only one Sunday throughout 5 years. Right? So that was 2017. From 2017 to today, I can count. I don't think there is any. Right? But my system has been accustomed to that. But if someone now comes to the family, you are not living in my house. You know, if you want to go into the kitchen and go and eat, I will allow you to go into the kitchen and go and eat. I can't see myself waking up on a Sunday morning and go and cook rice. You still eat it before church. You still eat it after church. I can't imagine myself. No. You can. I can't. But like I said, you had better eat. Let your eyes be seeing well. Not that you will not eat. You come to God's. My pastor will be saying, "Talk to Ezekiel." You just do like this. Anywhere that open. Anywhere that your Bible open. Just. My pastor will say, "Are we here?" You say, "Yes." "Are we here?" You say, "Yes." Are we following? Yes, are you? Some of you have to look at you. I will tell you to open the book of Ephesians. And you know, when you get a Bible, you know where somebody is close to Ephesians. How can I say open the book of Ephesians? Your Bible is like this. How? Is that the Bible is upside down? or you are not there? How can I say open the Ephesians? Your Bible is like that. You are looking at me. You are laughing at yourselves. Anywhere, open your Bible to Ephesians. Anywhere, you just open. And you are in Job. Right, so get your heart in a place to receive God's word when hands are, and also receive God's touch when hands, because it is God's order and God's method to communicate certain things when hands are laid. Have you been blessed by this series? Yes, lovely. Do you have questions? You have a question? Yes.